Good morning again. Today is the 14th of July, 2024. Speaker is Forrest Cottrell. I'm here in Flagstaff, Arizona, and it's like deja vu because 40 years ago, the same group used to meet. I've got Barney sitting next to me and Kathleen and Jean and Kelly, and it's just like old times all over again. So great that we can get together and fellowship. As I indicated, today's topic has to do with freedom. The purpose is to see what freedom do we really have in a nation who professes that we are free, just as the Jews did, because they weren't, quote, in bondage. But are we really free? And we celebrated July 4th, which was the independence of this great country, when they declared independence from the tyranny of Great Britain and from the king. So as we struggle today with the loss of our freedoms, without getting real political here, we see that they are eroding. And what we know is that we are free from some things, and we are not free from other things. So let's take a look at those. Let's start off in John chapter 8, verse 31. It says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How say thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is the servant, or is in bondage, of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the son abides forever. If the son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you." The Greek word for freedom here is eleuthero. It means to liberate. It means to deliver. It means to make free, which is what we see there in the paragraph above. And so no wonder they questioned Christ about being free, because they did not feel that they were in bondage. Even though they were servants to Rome at the time, they weren't really bond servants, if you will. They were not chained. They were not prisoners. They were just a conquered country. And they paid taxes then to Rome for protection, primarily, but also for other certain benefits. So let's take a look at this word freedom. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 20. It says, "And whosoever lies carnally with a woman that is a bondmaid or slave, betrothed to a husband and not at all redeemed, nor freedom given her, she shall be scourged. They shall not be put to death, because she was not free. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, and unto the door of tabernacle of the congregation, even a ram for a trespass offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him, and the ram of the trespass offering before the Lord, for his sin which he hath done, and the sin which he hath done shall be forgiven him." The Hebrew word here is chupsha. It means liberty from slavery, in this case, specifically. It is translated freedom elsewhere. And so we see that this bondmaid was a slave, and therefore she did not have the rights of a person who was free. And because she didn't have those rights, then she was not under the law in the same way that those who were Jewish and under the law. Move to the New Testament. Hall, who had been accused of a riot, and he was imprisoned, and now the captain of the Roman guard that was there came to him and said, "Are you a Roman? And said, "Yea." And the chief captain answered, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." And Paul said, "But I was free born." Then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid after he knew that he was a Roman, because he had bound him. Now, the Greek word here for freedom has to do with citizenship. It's the word politia, and it is where we get the word politics. It also has to do with the Commonwealth. And the Commonwealth of Rome started, obviously, in Rome, in Italy, when Alexander the Great conquered the, quote, known world at that time. His four generals then took four quadrants of that conquered area, one which was in Rome, and he then became dominant and expanded. And as he expanded and conquered country after country, they didn't necessarily enslave them, as we think of slavery, but they were bound to follow Roman law. And an individual could buy their freedom to become a Roman citizen, and that's what this centurion did. He bought his freedom. Now, what that means is that he now has certain rights as a Roman citizen, one of which is you don't have to pay taxes, because any country that was considered Roman territory was, in fact, tax-free, like Philippians, for instance, Philippi, I guess, was considered, and Corinth were considered Roman colonies and therefore were tax-free. So this individual says, "Look, I paid for my freedom." But Paul says, "No, I was born free." And that's because his father was Greek and his mother was Jewish, but he was raised as a Jew, was circumcised, and bound himself to the law, therefore. So it's very important as you think about this to see what Paul is saying, that he was free born, meaning that he had all the rights of a Roman citizen. Where it says then, "I was free born," is a different variation of the word that we saw up earlier, and it has to do with being delivered, having a freedom, a liberty, etc., but it has to do with not being a slave, as opposed to a bond slave, as we saw the servant girl was. It has to do with not being in bondage of any sort. Let's look then further at the word free. Psalms 51, verses 9 through 12, says, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." In this case, the Hebrew word here has to do with being generous, magnanimous, liberal, as in free. And so it takes on a little bit different connotation. But notice that the sentence before this, the phrase before this, has to do with restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. What is salvation? Well, it's a freedom. Isaiah 58, verse 6 says, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke?" This different Hebrew word, chafshi, it means to free, as in from bondage or tax. And we're talking about a yoke, so that is a type of a way of incarceration and it was used with oxen to yoke them together. They could not freely roam. They had to work together. They were bound. Moving to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift for the judgment. Was by one to the condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. That word justification is also translated free. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so the righteousness of one, the free gift, came upon all men unto justification of life. For as one man's obedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. By the obedience of one, they would become justified, they would become free. Free from what? Free from sin? No, free from death. The word has to do with deliverance. It is charisma, which typically we don't think of in terms of freedom, but it has to do with a free gift, an endowment, or deliverance. Going on in Romans chapter 6, verses 18 through 23, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Greek word here again is lutero. It has to do with being exempt, being made free, to liberate. We are liberated from sin. That doesn't mean that we aren't still serving sin, and therefore would be ashamed for those sins. 1 Corinthians 12:23, the same Greek word is used, for by one Spirit are ye all baptized into one body, whether ye be Jews or Gentiles, whether ye be bond or free, in other words, bond as in bond slave, or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Greek word eleutheros means not a slave in this case. So we think of being free, that we are not in bondage to anything. And in this case, the bondage was to sin. Galatians 5:1-7. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty or freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So just like we talked about above, you can be free from sin, but you could still be in bondage to it because of your habits or your actions. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Greek word here for liberty and free are the same. It has to do, it's the Greek word lutheroe again. And again, it has to do with the bondage, being free from the bondage of what? In this case, the law. And by being circumcised, which meant following the law, you were freed from grace. Well, we don't want to be free from grace. We don't want to be in bondage under the law. We want to be completely free. In Acts 13, verses 38 through 43, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified or free from all things, from which ye could not be justified or free by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Interesting here that he knows that they're not going to believe. And here we are in Acts 13. We're not even, you know, to the end of the Acts. And many people think that the church started in Acts 13. Some think it's Acts 2. Some think it's Acts 18. We believe that our dispensation starts after Acts 28. Verse 42 in Acts 13 says, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. So this word justified, again, is also translated free in other places. It has to do, in this case, it's a different Greek word. It's dikaio, and it has to do with being innocent or rendered innocent and or righteous. It's interesting, though, that as this individual, as Paul is talking to these individuals, he said, though a man declare that you are justified or free, you're not going to believe it. You're going to go back to the law. You're going to go back to the ceremonial ordinances, etc. And that's so true to me today as I look around at people who have sinned. They have addictions. And though they've been freed from them, they go back to it. And that addiction could be to drugs or alcohol. It could be to pornography or sex or adultery. It doesn't matter what the sin is. We are free from that, but you have to choose to be free and sin no more. Just as Christ told the adulteress that was found in the act of adultery, that when he said to those who were going to stone her, he who was without sin cast the first stone, they all left. And Christ says, where are your accusers, to her? And she says, they've all gone. And he says, I don't accuse you either. Go and sin no more. What did she do? We don't know. But the point is that he freed her from death in that time because she should have been stoned based on the law. But by grace, in this case, she was given freedom from death and freedom then to choose to follow him or to follow her, in this case, addicted ways. So what about our dispensation? Let's take a look at Ephesians. Ephesians 2, verses 14 through 16. For he is our peace, who hath made us both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that she might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. He's abolished, he has set us free from these ordinances, these commandments, and he has freed us from the enmity that is between God and man. He has reconciled that. He has justified us to the Father. Ephesians 6:8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free, whether he be enslaved or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Here we have masters who are, what, slave owners. An example of that would be Philemon, who had a slave, Onesimus, who ran away, met Paul, and Paul then wrote Philemon, the book Philemon, the letter Philemon, to say, please accept him back. Even though he is a slave, and because he ran away should be punished, it's all on me. Put it on my account. And be kind to him. Don't threaten him. So we see that here, the Lord, when he gives us this freedom, he doesn't threaten us because we were in bondage to sin. He doesn't threaten us by putting fear into us of hellfire, etc. It's a free gift that he gives us. And because it's a free gift, we have the freedom to choose. In Colossians 2:13 through 15, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespass, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The word against has to do with stifling. So we are liberated from these ordinances. They have been taken away and nailed to the cross. Colossians 2:19 and 20, therefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not. These are things that keep us in bondage to the law, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. They're not even the Ten Commandments from God. They're man-written to keep control over us. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in all worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. We are free from these ordinances. Colossians 3. But now ye also put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man and his deeds. We are free from the old man. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. The word free here is eleutherus. Again, it has to do with not being a slave, but having a citizenship. And this citizenship, this new man, can only be achieved through grace. It is not going to come about because of any rules or ordinances or laws. Two more references. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified or freed in the spirit. Seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. This is, again, is the Greek word dikaio. It has to do with justifying or being righteous. It has to do with being innocent. but it also has to do with being free. Titus 3:3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures. This is the bondage when we serve, when we are in bondage to lusts and pleasing of ourselves as opposed to pleasing God, being deceived that that's better for us than walking worthy of Christ, that deception, that seduction, if you will, is sin. And we love to be in it sometimes, and yet we are free from it. It says, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Isn't that what we see in the political world today? Everybody hates everybody else that's on the other side of the fence. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, according to His mercy, He saved us. He freed us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified or freed by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And it is this justification by His grace, by His mercy, He saved us. He saved us out of being deceived that sin and being in bondage to sin, which leads to death, that there is a better way, and that is by being justified by His grace. So what have we read that we're free from? Well, we're free from the enmity between God and man. We're free from sin, slavery, the law, ordinances and commandments, the rituals, the traditions of men. We're free from eternal life. And I'm sure that you can come up with several others. So what else can you think of that we are free from? You can note it in the chat if you like. What are we not free from? Well, because we live in the flesh, we are not free from the old nature. We are not free from pain and suffering. That is just part of life. We are not free from persecution. And though we may not currently be persecuted as Paul was thrown in prison, that may come. Who knows where this country is going, given the path that it's on. Our freedoms are being taken away every single day. And if you haven't read about the World Health Organization, you should check it out, because they're the ones that put the parameters on the pandemic that took away our freedom. And that's the state we're going to live in if they continue to grow in power as the current administration wants to. We are not free from death. We are still in bondage to sin as we choose to. We are not free from the desire of the flesh because of our eyes. We are not free from the flesh and the pain that the flesh, that we in the flesh endure. We're not free from the world and from the challenges that it would bring. And I'm sure that there are many other things that we're not free from, and you can think of those things as well. And so cherish our freedom. Cherish the fact that in this country we still have some freedoms, and we have to defend those. Many have died in so doing. Two individuals at the rally for Trump yesterday were killed. Why? Because they were sitting behind Trump in the stands. And it is a sad, sad world we live in when this world chooses violence. It chose violence against Paul, and it may choose violence against us, but we are free in Christ. We have, by grace, been saved, not of our own works, but of His mercy and grace. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the freedoms that we yet have. We pray that You will bless this country and the leaders that are there. We pray for wisdom for these leaders, that they would be guided by you and not by the rules and regulations of the world, but by you, Lord, giving them wisdom. Help us throughout the coming weeks and months, Lord, as we move forward, continue to show grace to us who believe, and to those who have infirmities, Lord, that you would heal them and give them comfort. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.